Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by the SGPN Merch Store. Use promo code SGPNBA to get 10% off everything in the SGPN store.
Hi, yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 331. It's going to go out to a familiar name, Frankie Designs. Yes, we just dedicated a few episodes back, was dedicated to him, but he's not a coward, and he actually gave us a review. So we got to give him another shout out. And basically, his review says, hands down, it's the most fun he's had while betting on sports. And if you're not in the Discord, join the Discord, which is very true. So thank you, Frankie Designs. Hopefully he also likes listening to the show, not just the Discord. Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Get in there. It is lots of fun, as he said. So thank you, Frankie, and thank you for listening to the podcast here. We're kind of in a lull here as we await Pennington versus Aldana 2. so we'll try to hang in there until and bring you quality content until we get to that event. Beginning with this week's UFC. UFC is back in the UFC Apex once again. We got a heavyweight matchup on the top. The undercard has been strucken down a bit because the co-main event, Sung Yadong versus Ricky Simon, has been moved to next week's main event, which is actually kind of cool. It makes next week's event more interesting for sure. But anyhow, we're going to break down all the prelim fights today. We've got 7 of them, and then tomorrow we'll be back with the 5 main card fights, our props, parlays, locks, how about dogs, all that fun stuff. I keep saying we, it's not a royal we, there actually is someone else here, that voice you heard laughing before. It's the one and only Gumby Vreeland, Danny V. Hello.
I like how you threw the Aldana versus Pennington news in there. It doesn't seem like a fun fight. It unquestionably is a number one contender fight, though, right?
Sadly, yes.
Like, unquestionably, it's a number one contender fight. You're right. Couldn't be all that much excited about it. Maybe the bosses usually try to get me on the big show, or said they wanted to have me on the big show again when a big fight comes around. Maybe I'll just pull a fast one on them and tell them to do it then.
There we go. It's 1 month away, May 20th. Mark it on your calendars. Pennington versus Aldana 2. And it's, for sure, it's going to be all 5 rounds, too, which will be even more sweet, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine either of that. I wonder if you could like line it right now, what the over 4.5 rounds or the fight goes to decision line would be, because you got to imagine it's like -450, right?
Yeah, you'd think it would have to be at the very least. Well, we got lots of fun women's bantamweight headliners coming up. Hey, Nunes Pena 3 Canada gets that. Oh boy, Vancouver.
Is that the main event of Vancouver? It's the,
as of now, it is, yeah. So, yeah, and the event's called that. So, oh, boy.
That's not good. That UFC 289, is that
the one? Yeah, and the undercard, not too exciting as of yet. Stephen Thompson, Michelle Pereira, I guess, would be the co-main event at this point. And let's say
That's at least fun. That's at least fun as hell. Yeah, but,
anyhow.
Didn't I just hear they were moving a title? Oh, no, this is the title fight that got moved to that card. Never mind. Yeah. This was originally supposed to be earlier or later or something.
two women's bantamweight rematches, or in one, the one case, what do you call it? Rematch plus one?
Trilogy.
A trilogy. Oh, that's right.
You might call it a trilogy. You might call it a trilogy. Easy word,
and I didn't think of it. The trilogy fight. We didn't ask for any of these fights, but we're getting them. So, more interesting.
Do you think we can squeeze a Holly Holm main event in after?
Oh, please. Maybe they can do a three-way dance. Put Holly Holm in one of those fights, too, and see how Jan Andreessen, one-on-one-on-one, that would be interesting. No, it wouldn't. It would be boring.
It would be more fun if you put her in there with Aldana and Pennington than letting just two of them fight. At least give us more to talk about.
They would all clinch up into a ball against the cage, and it would be 25 minutes of that.
It would be two of them clinching and one of them watching.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Anyhow, we don't need to look ahead to what we have coming down the chute, because we have something very, very soon. 3 days, as a matter of fact. UFC Fight Night, Pavlovich versus Blades. We're not worrying about the main event, though, today. That will be tomorrow. We got the prelims today. Some interesting fights on it. I didn't find it too difficult to handicap this week. And it sounds like a lot of my picks are lining up with yours. I don't know if that's good or bad, but actually, we're 62% lifetime when we line up. So I guess it's fairly good if we line up together. But thoughts on the undercard before we jump into it?
I think there's a lot of intrigue here, because there's like some prospects who are unproven and super young who could take a big step forward. You also got like a couple of people who were like kind of post prospect at this point in time, like Montel Jackson and Carol Rosa, or Hosa rather, are kind of like past their prospect status at this point, because they've been around for so long. But at the same time, like, still kind of have to answer a question about whether or not they really belong in the top 15 or so. So it at least is going to answer questions. And that's what I said about, like, when a card is weak, at least answer some questions for me. And I think this one does it. So,
yeah. All right. I guarantee one of the fights, I have a feeling we're going to be on the different sides of. I just have a feeling. I know your likes and the type of fighters you tend to pick. So we'll see if I'm right. I'll let you know when we get to it. But before we get into that, I'm going to tell you about Underdogs, Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here, and what better way to get down to some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've already got NFL best draft. See, I'm all of a sudden my mainframe just shut down there, and I can't talk anymore. Let's try this again. Besides daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also already got NFL basketball drafts with a guaranteed $500,000 in prizes. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. I can't be shutting down already. We just got started. We have to talk about Bam Bam He Stand. All right. That's the first fight we're going to talk about. Bantamweights. Brady Bam Bam Heiston. Is it Heiston or Heistand?
He Stand.
He Stand. And He Stand on Gumby's podcast, Top Shorter Podcast, this week, and spoke. I'm not sure if he was standing at the time, but he spoke at the very least.
Yeah, he was there, and we were talking about his mustache, so make sure you tune into that.
Correct, yes, and he strongly hinted that it will be there. as hopefully will Dana Batgirl. Hopefully he will be there as well, because that is his opponent in this curtain-jerking bantamweight fight. I'm going to tell you about He Stand first. Bam Bam is the nickname. He's the smaller of the two Bam Bams in the UFC. There's only two, right, currently?
Three.
Who am I forgetting?
Who Barbarina, do you know?
Barbarina, yep. Heiston, and...
You're missing the most famous one.
The most famous.
You got
Tuivasa, yes.
Ty Tuivasa, yes.
So he's definitely smaller than all those guys. He's 6-2, two knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once. 1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight after dropping his debut. He was 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and then lost in the finals. That would have been his first UFC fight, the loss. Used to fight at featherweight, used to fight at lightweight. He's way down at bantamweight now. He's inch of height, inch of reach over Batgirl, 10 years younger. He's been outstruck over his UFC fights by 1.2 strikes per minute. He has better grappling stats than Batgirl. He's at plus 135. Storm Batgirl, 12-4. Shouldn't his nickname be Batgirl? Wouldn't that be a better name? I think I've done this joke before. And then
I feel like I've been Batgirl. Yeah.
I named Batgirl, and you didn't know because you don't know anything about Batman, you said, or something. So, yeah. Yeah. I think I already did this joke, so we're going to move on.
I don't know anything about Batman. I will reiterate that.
All right. Your kids aren't in Batman yet?
They're like into every superhero ever. So like, it, I don't take the time to learn anything about any of them.
Good. Very good. Okay. This is not a Batgirl. This is Storm. He is 12-4, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 3-3 in the UFC. However, he has dropped 2 straight fights. He was a regional champ. Used to fight at flyweight, featherweight, and lightweight. He's been all over the place. 2011 pro MMA debut. He's more than 2 times more active landing strikes, 2.2 times to be exact, than Heaston is over their UFC careers. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.66 strikes per minute, and he's at minus 135. Go ahead.
So you had Heaston at plus 125?
Plus 135, even better. The line's gotten better for him.
Oh, yeah. That's wild to me because well, first of all, it's clearly bouncing a little bit because it originally posted like 160. It went all the way down to like plus 110, plus 115 in some places. So the fact that it's rebounding up means that they're kind of finding the equilibrium. But the only reason I know this is because I've had my eye on the Brady Heaston line the whole time. I love Brady Heaston here. I'm going to go dog right out of the gate for a lot of reasons. The biggest one being Danil Baccarel, just not a guy who's fought a lot of people who could out-wrestle him. You know, he fought Kyung Ho Kang. I don't know how you feel about the wrestling of Kyung Ho Kang. Chris Gutierrez just knocked him out quick. And also, he just isn't a wrestler. Guido Canetti can't wrestle. Kevin Natividad, I think, only survived 50 seconds. So there's no wrestling in that fight. Brandon Davis lasted 2 minutes. No wrestling in that fight. The only person who seemingly could wrestle him was in his debut. He fought Haile Alatang. And Haile Alatang took him down pretty easy. I went back and watched those fights. He, you know, landed about half of his takedowns and seemingly really, really easy. Brady Heaston in his last fight did 2 things. First of all, his wrestling looked improved, which is pretty impressive considering it already looked good against Ricky Tercios. And then number 2, he looks so much stronger. You could tell he's working with a strength and conditioning coach. I actually asked him about it this week about like, you know, have you been working with a strength and conditioning coach? Is that why you look so jacked? And he said that he has. It's also made him lighter. It makes his gas tank better. I think all of those things are just going to mean he just out-grapples Baccarel Danil, who has had a tough time in his last couple of fights, you know, kind of getting outworked on the feet and tiring out late in fights, at least in the Kyung Ho Kang fight particularly. And I think Brady Heaston's going to take it to him.
You'll see on Top Turtle, most of the interviews Dan does, he one of the first questions is, how do you make yourself look so hot, is what he says to the guys usually.
And I interview women as well.
Some of them, no, he don't usually say it to them for some reason, but he's usually, how do you get so those abs? Anyhow, he stands my pick too.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. We're dogs out of the gate together.
Exactly. Plus, like, I don't get why he's a dog here. This is, I'm fading Baccarel, and I like Heaston too. So this is
Heaston looks so good against Fernie Garcia. It's worth, yeah. And I'm a big Fernie Garcia guy. Like I thought Fernie Garcia was going to be a big threat, and he looked, he looked amazing against Fernie Garcia. And Baccarel's on a downward trend. He either knocks him out or gets beat.
He's fought some killers though, so I'll give him that.
Has he fought some killers? Kyung Ho Kang. He lost to Kyung Ho Kang.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Dude, Kyung Ho Kang got
out-grappled. Mr. Perfect, for God's sake.
He got out-grappled by Hani Yaya, 150-year-old Hani Yaya.
More on him very soon. Very soon. But yeah, we're both going. Plus, he's 10 years younger, for God's sakes. And he's got a super smoking hot body now. So from what
that's
I hear from
right,
Dan.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, he's ripped. Yeah.
Smoking hot body for Brady Heaston. All right, let's move on. Women's flyweight. We're going to differ on this one. Priscilla Cachoeira, Karine Silva. Or is it Kahin?
I think it's Kareen. I think you
Yeah,
can
usually
the
they don't
the
do
bit.
That with. Yeah. Right. All right. Cachoeira is the zombie girl. 12-4, 7 knockouts. Been submitted twice. 4-4 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight and 4 of 5. She had a horrendous start to the UFC. They fed her to Valentina Shevchenko first fight, right?
And, yeah.
She almost died for real. That was bad.
Yeah.
But things have turned around. She won her last fight via TKO, and that was against Ariana Lipsky. Used to fight up at bantamweight. Has missed weight before, 2 inches taller than Silva, striking stats and are in her favor over Silva, plus she's more active landing strikes. However, she's been outstruck in all of her UFC, well, not all of her UFC fights, but overall, her 8-fight career, she's at minus 3.17. Ouch.
That's just the Shevchenko fight.
Yeah, that's what we said last time, too. Yeah, she's never going to live that down. Even if she becomes champion, she still will have a negative strike differential. She's at plus 168 in the boards. Killer, Karine Silva. 12-4, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. So she is a killer. She's finished everyone that she's beat. She's been knocked out once, submitted twice. One and only UFC. She won that fight via submission. She's won six straight fights, has not lost since May of 2019. Used to fight at strawweight and bantamweight. 2013 pro MMA debut, 2 inches of reach over Cachoeira, 5 years younger. She also has been outstruck over her, well, one UFC fight by 1.46 strikes per minute. She has better grappling stats than Cachoeira, small sample size for that, and she's at minus 188. I'm going Cachoeira. I think you're going to go Silva because she's a grappler, but I'm going to take the striker with really good power over Silva. Cachoeira has been taken down in her career. She also has stuffed a lot of takedowns, so I'm hoping, I think 65% takedown defense she has, and, you know, and she looked so good against Lipsky last fight. I am willing to roll the dice here on the better striker and get some nice dog money.
You are wrong. I'm going Cachoeira.
Oh, really? I thought Silva would be your type of fighter, but no.
Good. You know, and she is to an extent, but here's the thing. It's that, like, if you go back and you watch her fight on Contender Series, because actually I think the stats you have are for two fights, because she fought Kui Hui Yan in that Contender Series fight too. Yep. And in that fight, she was so clearly the better jiu-jitsu specialist. And if Kui Hui Yan just didn't keep trying to take her down and succeed a whole bunch of times, she would have lost that fight because she could not get Kui Hui Yan down. There was no chance of it happening. Her takedowns are actually kind of terrible. She doesn't set them up well. She doesn't get in deep on them. A lot of them are body lock takedowns, which I kind of don't feel like are going to work against Priscilla Cachoeira either. And then the bigger thing here is just how big of a gap there's going to be in the striking, because Karine Silva, she throws out a lot of strikes that are not remotely close to landing. Like, she throws leg kicks that are way out of range. She can't seem to find where her jab is supposed to kick. Like, she throws out a lot of stuff that I think she thinks is going to land, but it winds up leaving her really open to counters and makes it really easy for people to defend takedowns because they're not reacting to her striking at all. They're just like, okay, that strike is way far away from me. If she shoots, I'm going to stuff her real easily. So I think both of those things play super negatively in her favor. And I like Cachoeira here. I think I wouldn't be surprised if she finished her either.
Ooh, spicy. Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, I think I kind of remember you weren't in on Silva. I don't think you were in on her for the Contender Series. Were you, or were you?
Oh no, I definitely picked Kui Hui Yan. And here's the part that bugs me the most about that fight too, because I remember vividly breaking it down. Kui Hui Yan, all she had to do was keep that fight on the feet because she was winning it on the feet, and she could clearly take her down whenever she wanted. So I picked her. I wanted to say she was big dog money too on that one. And all she had to do was just like not shoot a stupid takedown with her head on the wrong side, and she would have won that fight. And she did for like 2.5 rounds and then made a bad decision. So, I think I was off Karine Da Silva on the last fight against Botelho too, but, you know, again, same thing. She just kind of like hit a takedown, and it was a reactionary takedown. It wasn't even a good takedown. It was like she caught a kick and pushed her over. I think Karine Da Silva, great jiu-jitsu, but I don't think the means to get it there.
Gumby's great at just throwing shade at a bunch of people that we're not even talking about on the show. Every episode you do, that is great. There's always shrapnel flying.
Was this a Kui Hui Yan?
Yan and whoever else you just mentioned. Yeah, it's great. Okay. I like it. Right. I like it. All right. We are on both on the same page, both on underdogs. So the dogs be barking last week. They hit six dogs out of 14 fights. So that's a pretty huge number. We were at 71-72% on the year. We're down to 70% now for the favorites coming through. Usually overall the rate 67. So you gotta kind of think the dogs mathematically that the dogs should be coming through in a higher ratio, because you think eventually we're gonna go back to that 67% rate. But there you go. We got two right out of the gate. So hopefully I'm correct with that. Let me tell you about the SGPN merch store. We are brought to you by the SGPN merch store. In honor of the NBA playoffs from now until the end of April, get 10% off anything in the SGPN merch store when you use the promo code SGP. The code is not sorry yes. The code is SGPNBA. That's SGPNBA. So head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com and use the promo code SGPNBA to get 10% off everything, including the Gumby Miracle t-shirt, the multi-regional championships on their mantle shirt, you know, lots of fun stuff. And there's, we have other shows, of course, get their gear too. So that is store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Calm. All right. Moving on, see if we're still on the same page. We are going to featherweights Francis Marshall versus William Gomis. He's a Jaguar. Apparently Jaguars are allowed in the UFC, so keep that in mind. He's 11-2, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted once himself. 1-0 in the UFC, that's part of a 9-fight winning streak. He's not lost since January of 2018. His fight up at lightweight was a regional champion. 3 inches taller and 1 inch of reach on Marshall. His striking and grappling stats are better than Marshall's based off his 1 UFC fight and Marshall's 1 UFC and 1 Contender Series fight. So pretty small sample sizes. Gomi outstruck his first opponent by UFC opponent by 0.8 strikes per minute. And he is at plus 175 on the board. Fire Marshall is 7-0, 1 knockout, 4 submissions, 1-0 in the UFC, won that via knockout, 1-0 in the Contender Series, used to fight at lightweight, 2 years younger than Gomi. 3 times more active landing strikes based on the small sample sizes here. He's outstruck his 2 opponents, UFC and Contender Series, by 1.31 strikes per minute. And he's at minus 205. Over to you.
I'm going Marshall here. Here's the thing. I actually think Gomi is better than people give him credit for. In that fight with Jarno Ahrens, he looked really good at certain moments. But then there were also times where, like, you know, Jarno Ahrens is a kickboxer. Like, that's exclusively what he is. He's a Dutch kickboxer. And at that end of that fight, I don't know if you remember, Gomi was in a sunk triangle choke. Like, he was almost done for. If Jarno Ahrens had a little bit more time or, you know, cinched that up a little bit tighter, you know, we might be talking about 0-1 William Gomi. And Marshall, first of all, I think is going to be more aggressive on the feet, more deadly on the feet. And Gomi already sort of backpedals more than he ought to. I also think Marshall has got the takedowns game. Like, we haven't seen a ton of it in the UFC because he's just showed off that, like, hey, my hands are really good. But like, I think he's got a wrestling advantage there. And if you look at the stuff that Ahrens did that gave Gomi the most trouble, Gomi hated the fact that Ahrens countered with like boxing counters. When he countered with kickboxing stuff, he like knew how to avoid it and knew how to circle away. But when he threw like, you know, hooks to the body or stuff like that, like more boxing level stuff, it really bothered Gomi, and he got really tired towards the end. I think Marshall's gas tank and the fact that he is, you know, a pretty adept boxer in addition to being a good grappler, it makes me, you know, pretty darn confident in Marshall here.
Yeah, Marshall's my pick as well. He's really opened some eyes over his 2 performances that we've seen him in the octagon. So looking forward to him making it, what, 8 straight wins to start off his career. So we're on the same page there. Once again, heavyweight time, Muhammad Usman versus Junior Tafa. The battle of the lesser brothers. We'll tell you about Usman first. The Motor. How is that his nickname?
I've never heard that nickname before. Are you sure that's real?
He does not have a motor. I would have got it off Tapology. So yes, the Motor.
Is there a hyphen there? Because his name is well, the Motor.
Maybe, but okay. He's 8-2 anyhow. 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted once, the only time he's been stopped. So he's got that going for him. 1-0 in the UFC, 1 via knockout. That was for the Ultimate Fighter Championship, which he won. So he went 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter House. 0-1 in PFL, he's at plus 100. And yes, he is Kamaru's younger brother. I think he's younger, right?
More on he's that bigger. In a second.
Yeah, and he's definitely really bigger, matter, I guess. Junior Tafa is the younger brother, right, of Justin?
He you is know that? He's yeah. the younger one. I know that.
Okay. He's the Juggernaut. You know, remember who else's nickname is the Juggernaut?
I don't. But I do know Muhammad Usman is the younger brother by 1 year.
Okay. The Juggernaut, another kickboxer from that part of the world, Mark Hunt.
Oh.
I think that was one of his nicknames.
Never the one I'm familiar with. Sure.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just a fan of that character. When I interviewed him years ago, he was talking about the Juggernaut. But anyhow, Tafa's 4-0 with 4 knockouts. This is his debut in the UFC. He also is a pro boxer, pro Muay Thai, and pro kickboxer. Based on their last weigh-ins, he's 28 pounds heavier than Usman, inch taller, 7 years younger. Don't have reach stats for him because he hasn't fought any big organizations that do that stuff yet. He's at minus 110. Maybe I've seen Junior Tafa fight. Regardless, sight unseen, I'm taking him because I really think Mo Usman's bad.
So first of all, Mark Hunt's the Super Samoan.
That's right. Yeah. I think he just said Juggernaut was his favorite.
I mean, he's shaped like the Juggernaut. Am I wrong?
Sure. Oh, you know the Juggernaut now.
I do know the Juggernaut. Yeah. Yeah. He's shaped like the Juggernaut. I'm taking Mo Usman in this fight.
Really?
Doesn't yeah.
he suck though?
He always he does. Way to I win, think though. Junior Tafa sucks too.
crap.
So if you go back and you watch Junior Tafa, you guys might remember we broke down a Junior Tafa fight on
right.
this very yep. podcast. Actually 2 of them. Both of them I picked against him and he won both of them anyway. But he fought at Brave CF against this guy named Nicholas Djurjevic. Nicholas Djurjevic is 41 years old. Nicholas Djurjevic is 4-4 in his pro career. Nicholas Djurjevic pretty much could only wrestle and had about 2 minutes of cardio. And Nicholas Djurjevic put it to Junior Tafa for all 2 minutes of that cardio he had. He took him down. He had him in a crucifix. He was leveling him with grounded pound. And then at a certain point in time, Nicholas Djurjevic remembered he was 41 years old, got tired, let Junior Tafa up, and then proceeded to get knocked out. And not like knocked out in a way that like, oh shit, Junior Tafa's got like crazy KO power. It was 100% like, oh, I'm tired. I might lay down now. And apart from that, like Junior Tafa hasn't impressed me with who he beat. Like his best win, the Tsuyoshi Sudario fight that he won in Ryzen just now, like cool win, but he beat a sumo wrestler who doesn't really box and should have just taken him down and didn't. And apart from that, he's fought like a lot of journeymen and stuff like that. I actually think if you look at Muhammad Usman's record, he's fought way better competition, like Zach Pounga, way better than all those guys. You know, even if you look back to some of his fights in Titan, he fought some better people. I mean, he fought Dontel Mays. And I would just say this, like, he's durable. It's not like he goes in there and gets knocked out. In fact, he's never been knocked out in his whole life. And he himself has got knockout power in a little bit of takedowns. And I think all you need in this fight is a little bit of takedowns because I think he's going to wind up on top of Tafa in this fight. And I think the ground and pound plays.
On top of Tafa. That's a tongue twister. Do you see how Gumby crapped over a bunch of innocent fighters again there? It's great.
Which one did I crap on there?
Just Nicholas Djurjevic.
Djurjevic is a 4-4, 41-year-old French heavyweight.
See? Like, you can't resist. He's doing it again. And same with some sumo guy you mentioned.
Sudario. I like Sudario. He just needed to grapple.
That's amazing. Anyhow, my blind pick may go awry, but we'll see. I just know Mo Usman's not good. But
if you're out there thinking about putting your hard money, hard-earned money on Junior Tafa,
or I'm, just
gonna, Or on Mo Usman.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. Just like fade this fight. But if you are thinking about going out there and putting your hard-earned money on Junior Tafa, I just want you to go Google his fight with Nicholas Jurjevic first.
There it is.
It's that Brave CF. Watch the fight and then think to yourself, is this a man I want my money on?
Jurjevic again. And
it's the Jurjevic effect.
Oh, boy. Poor Jurjevic. All right. Let's go to women's featherweight. Yes, it's apparently a weight class. Carol Hossa versus Norma Dumont. This one actually had a little trouble picking. It's almost a pick 'em on the board. So I guess that makes sense. So about Hossa first. 16-4, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted twice. 5-1 in the UFC. She has won her last fight. Used to fight down at bantamweight, as all the featherweights tend to do. 2012 pro MMA debut, 4 years younger than Dumont. She's more active landing strikes, and she has better grappling stats as well. She's been very good in the striking department over her 6 UFC fights. She's outstruck her opponents by 2.03 strikes per minute. She's even money, plus 100. The immortal Norma Dumont, 8-2 with 2 submissions. Did you know she was an immortal? I guess we know that.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the nickname.
Yeah. It's just a nickname. I thought she was immortal. Okay.
Pretty sure it's just a nickname.
And just like the motor, it doesn't really describe Mo Usman either.
No, he doesn't. No.
Dumont 8-2 with 2 submissions. She knocked out once, 4-2 in the UFC, won her last fight. She's missed weight twice. I think once in featherweight, once at bantamweight. So you may want to keep that in mind. You may want to hang on your money until you see the weigh-ins Friday and see how everyone looks. Used to fight at bantamweight, 2 inches taller than Hossa. Norm Dumont's taller than someone. That's weird. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.6 strikes per minute. She's at -115. Over to you.
This one's mine?
Yep. I took Tafa blindly.
Oh, right. I'm going to go Carol Hossa here. I'm going to take the even money on Carol Hossa. This was equally a tough fight for me because Carol Hossa, she looked really good 2 fights ago. And then she had that fight with Lena Landsberg that was like, I don't really like how static she looked on the feet, particularly with like her striking defense. Like Landsberg was landing a lot on her, but she still got that like very nice double leg. She has like a nice judo hip throw when she chooses to use it. And if you look back at Norma Dumont's losses, you know, in her wins, it's kind of like a stalemate on the feet for most of the time. And she just wins. But like if you look back at her Macy Chaisson loss, for instance, Macy Chaisson took her down with like, it was a body lock, but it wasn't even like a clean body lock. It was kind of like a muscled one. I think Hossa has just like a little bit more, you know, like a little bit more technically sound grappling. And I think that should be enough against Dumont. I also just think Dumont is a little bit too slow to take advantage of Carol Hossa's like defensive issues. While like Lena Landsberg, who's, you know, she's the elbow queen, was able to like kind of work around the guard of Hossa sometimes. I don't know that Dumont's fast enough for that. So, give me Carol Hossa here on the even money.
We finally differ.
We differed on the last one, dude.
Oh, that's right. We finally differ again. I'm taking Dumont. Just basically resume. Her resume is not that great either, but it's a bit better than Hossa's. The only active UFC fighter Hossa's beaten is Jocelyn Edwards.
The only active UFC fighter that Norma Dumont has beat is Danielle Wolf.
Yeah, she beat some better names. So Aspen Ladd, she's a world beater.
Oh, yeah, that fight was a barn burner, dude.
Anyhow, this is another fight I think I'm gonna stay away from in real life. So, all right, bantamweights, Hani Yahya, the aforementioned, versus Montel Jackson. Yahya, 28-10-1 with 1 no contest, 21 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted once. 13-4-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC. However, he's won 2 straight fights. However, he's not fought since November 2021. He's not lost since February of 2019. He was 4-3 in WEC. Good to see. WEC never die. Regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight. Used to fight at lightweight. Wait a minute. What's this one at? This one's at
bantamweight.
Right. Yes. Yes. He used to fight featherweight and lightweight. 2002 pro MMA debut. A BJJ champ, but multiple times over, like world level BJJ practitioner. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.18 strikes per minute, plus 450. That line kind of surprised me when I was making this info up. Quick Jackson, 12-2, 6 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight, 6-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight and 6 of 7, has not lost since July 2020, has missed weight in the past. So once, like I said about Dumont, may want to wait this one out. 1-0 in the Contender Series, used to fight at featherweight and lightweight. 4 inches taller, 8 inches of reach, 8 years younger. Striking, grappling, and active striking stats in his favor over He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute, 1.99, minus 549. I think the resume speaks for itself that Jackson is the right pick here.
Yeah. Did you say only 8 years younger? For some reason, yeah. I thought he was like 20 years younger. Is that? Eight doesn't feel right. There's a number that jumps out.
30 to me. And 38.
No, and I'll say this. I'm taking Jackson too. But I will tell you, with the number where it is, this is not parlay material. Do not put Montel Jackson in your parlays because, you know, I think Jackson's going to win. I think he's going to pick apart Rani Yaya on the feet. I think if you look at Hani Yaya's fight with Kyung Ho Kang, particularly late in that fight when Kyung Ho Kang started like landing punches, there's a lot to worry about there with Montel Jackson, right? Montel Jackson's so long, right? Like, his arms are so long. His boxing's way better than Kyung Ho Kang. Like, and then the layoff for Hani Yaya, like, how could you pick Hani Yaya and feel good about yourself? But that being said, Montel Jackson has shown issues with takedowns before. Now, granted, against much better grapplers, right? Ricky Simone, Brett Johns are the two guys who have given him his two hardest fights and his two losses. But he also gave up like a weird body lock takedown to Julio Arce at the end of the first round that makes me go, do I really want to hold like my parlay hinging on a guy who has issues with grappling up against an Abu Dhabi champion? Probably not, especially at negative 500. You know, like if you want to find a good prop on like, you know, Montel Jackson wins by KO or something like that. Like, he's definitely bettable if you can get the number down a little bit. But I definitely am not, like, hinging a four-fight parlay on Montel Jackson's negative 500 line here.
I know Yaya is old. He's, what, 38 and a half. He's only been stopped 3 times, though. So even a finish prop may not be. Well, you can sprinkle
it. What was the raw number on Jackson here?
549.
549.
I was shocked when I saw this.
Yeah, I thought it would
be
closer.
I didn't think it was going to be that high.
But like, Montel Jackson's got a lot of hype behind him. And a win over Julio Arce is not nothing either, you know? And I'll be getting those prop numbers to you momentarily. Montel Jackson wins by KO is only negative 130. Even that might not be playable.
Yeah. We're cowards, eh? 3 straight fights, we're like, yeah, you probably don't want to play.
Well, no, I think you could bet Usman and feel all right about it. I just may you have to just go watch Djurdjevic if you're going to bet on
Djurdjevic. Poor Djurdjevic. All right. Main event of the prelims is Hickey Glenn. He's Brazilian, right? No, he's on your podcast.
He is not. He's a Midwestern chap.
I know. Ricky Glenn versus Christos Giagos. And this is at what weight class are these boys at? Lightweights. Giagos is the Spartan, 19-10, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions, been knocked out twice, submitted 5 times, 5-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 2 straight. This could be it. He could be fighting for his career here in the UFC. He got finished in both of his last 2 fights. Finally, I get to say multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Go get the shirt. I told you the address earlier. 2010 pro MMA debut, inch of reach over Glenn. He's barely been outstruck over his UFC career. He's at minus 0.06 strikes per minute that he gets outstruck by. He has better grappling stats than Glenn, plus 150. The Gladiator. So we have Gladiator versus the Spartan. I never realized. That didn't clue in before. This is going to be epic, Dan.
It rules. That rules.
It does rule. Hickey Glenn. He was on the Top Turtle podcast this week, so make sure you listen. He is 22-6-2, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions, excuse me. He's been submitted twice. He's 4-3-1 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1-1 over his last 4. He drew in his last fight. That was back in October of 2021. He's the guy who, no, it's Hestand whose knee was torn apart, right?
Yeah. Although Ricky Glenn's been through a lot of injuries.
Oh, yeah. He tore his groin.
Yeah.
And the quote was, it felt like I got stabbed in the groin.
Make sure you tune in and listen.
Yeah. You hear someone talk about being stabbed in the groin. All right. So he's been out of the cage for a year and a half or so. He's missed weight before. He was...
missed weight down at featherweight, too.
Right, yeah. Okay. He was the World Series of Fighting champion?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He beat Georgi Kiarkian for the belt. Yeah.
Yes. He used to fight at featherweight, as Dan said. 2006, he's been a pro MMA fighter since. 2 inches of height over Giagos. He's got better striking stats and he's more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.14 strikes per minute, minus 162. Is it me?
I believe it's you.
Whatever. I will take Glenn, of course, because Dan talked to him. No, I think he's better than Giagos. Two trains headed in the opposite directions, as I said before. As I've said in other podcasts, Glenn basically had that guy beat last fight. Why can't I?
Grant Dawson.
Yeah, Grant Dawson. Not just a guy, a very good guy.
A dude.
Yes. Basically had him beat before it turned into a draw. Had him dead on his feet. And you'll hear it on the Top Turtle if you don't remember that fight. But Glenn's good. He's just better than Giagos. Giagos is probably going to be out of the UFC after this fight. So give me Ricky, the Gladiator Glenn, over the Spartan.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to reference the World Series of Fighting reference you made. He actually was on one of the first fights I ever covered live, which was World Series of Fighting 5.
Who sent you there?
Some very smart website.
Was it me?
That is no longer.
I remember you went there.
Yeah, yeah. And it was headlined by Andrei Arlovsky.
Yes, I remember. That's why you wanted to go. So you can rule all over Andrei Arlovsky.
Yeah. World Series of Fighting 5 in... so he was on that card. That card was 10 years ago. And he's still out here doing the damn thing. I will say this about Ricky Glenn. He looks so much better at lightweight than he ever did at featherweight. You know, he came out, knocked out Joaquin Silva real brutally right in the beginning of that fight. The Grant Dawson fight, yeah, it's a draw. It goes down as a draw. But, man, like, drawing with Grant Dawson is legit. And Grant Dawson tried to take him down a couple of times, and he, like, you know, like body locked him back and like shrugged off the takedowns and like countered him. And like, he was in top control at sometimes. Like he hung with Grant Dawson grappling, which is insane to say. Cause Grant Dawson has gone out there and just manhandled, like he manhandled Mark Madsen, who's an Olympic wrestler. He manhandled Jared Gordon, who's a really, really great grappler in his own right. And he couldn't manhandle Ricky Glenn, which just shows you he's got great takedown defense. And Chris Oceagos is kind of a grappler bust kind of guy. Like, if he can't get the fight to the ground, he's going to be outmatched by most lightweights on the feet. And I think Ricky Glenn is just going to piece him up and stuff the takedowns.
All right. There you go. Ricky Glenn is the pick. All right. I'll give you a recap before we get out of your ear holes. Unless you're going to listen to our podcast, tomorrow's podcast, back to back, then we'll be in your holes again. All right. We both are in on Glenn. We're both in on Jackson. He's got Hossa. I have Dumont. He has Usman. I have Taffa. We both have Marshall. Both have Cachorera. We both have Heastan. Right?
That sounds right to me.
Awesome. All right. Tomorrow is the main event, the main card. Props, locks, dogs, parlays, all that fun stuff. We'll be in ear holes tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're not in the Discord, get in the Discord, as everyone's already told you. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. Give us a review, just like Frankie did, and I'll mention your name in the podcast. What could be more exciting than that? 5 stars on Spotify, obviously, because we're amazing. And then if Apple or wherever else, 5 stars, obviously, and a nice review would be nice. You know, come on, don't be a coward. Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby runs that account for us. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. We've hyped it up enough, but listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast to get more insight into fighters that are going to be fighting this weekend. Get in my pick'em contest, moneymma.substack.com. Sign up for my newsletter. Basically, you get MMA stuff, for news, stats, all that jazz for me pretty much every day in your inbox if you're signed up. And read all our good other sports plus MMA at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. As I run out of steam, let's finish this up. I will remain the motor, Jeff Fox. My co-host, Zombie Girl, Gumby Rhythm, will be back tomorrow too. Bye.